All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, Lance McCullers, who was on the DL two different times this year because of a back issue. And coming out of the pen, he's been brilliant. The wind, the 2-0. Swing and a fly ball center field. This is going to do it. Springer waving his arms under it and makes the catch. And the Houston Astros are headed to the World Series. They pour out of the dugout and celebrate on the grass, jumping up and down. Hugs everywhere behind the backside of the mound. Houston, you're American League champs.
If you don't love that, then you don't love Houston Astros baseball. That should give you a little chicken skin on a Monday. How about that, baseball fans in the big city? Your Houston Astros going to the World Series.
Of the world, Craig.
It doesn't get much better than that. We are here with you for you until 4 p.m., and you guys are our suspects that like to participate throughout the show, which we love. But it is Barry, it is Joel, and filling in for Nick once again, it is the producer, Tyler Scott. We appreciate him as we are here for you till 4 o'clock, and we are here to talk about all things sports. But I think top of the list has to be what happened over the weekend.
Rockets 3-0. Oh.
Yes, the Rockets are 3-0. Chris Paul's on the shelf for a month. But they're the number one rated team in the NBA. And doggone it, they crowned champions in October. I'm sorry, they do that in baseball.
I thought we were, no, not going to be
your
Rockets.
Boy Kurt
Dynamo! Ha-ha! What?
People were throwing your Dynamo championships on anybody that tweeted about past champions in Houston. Mario Elliott had said something about, you know, hopefully that the Astros can do what the Rockets, Comets, and somebody had done, and then someone said, don't forget those two Dynamo I was like, okay, people, enough.
Oh, yeah. You guys chill out.
Well, let's just say that whether we have woodwork or not, all the crazy fans on both sides and all sides of the equation have already come out, and they've gotten their stuff out of the way. I know some of it has gotten under your skin. Some of it was a little bit hard for me to take even. But we do know that one thing is for sure, as much as we were all skeptical, thank God the local nine put all that to rest and the bats somewhat woke up. I was pretty pleased in my prediction of taking just give me the three and Verlander instead of expecting the bats to wake up. But overall, a great weekend in the big city.
Yeah, that was, at one point, I tweeted somebody, I was like, I'm just freaking out right now. Like, I'm so excited for this team, for the city. It's just such a cool thing, man, because we're, I talk about it all the time. We're just not used to this in Houston. So when you get this far, even to get this far, it's a pretty cool deal, man. And it's pretty special for a city that could use some really positive stuff right now. So, yeah, pretty pumped. I don't really even have great words to describe it. It just feels good.
Well, one day when you get into radio, those words will come easier for you and they'll flow.
Yeah.
And then you might become a performer after that, maybe do some comedy.
Well, you know, we'll see if that happens.
Tyler and I were tweeting a little bit. That was absolutely fantastic in the fact that we were all kind of edge of our seats, like kind of going, okay, still not going to, no matter how big the lead was, still wasn't going to say, okay, they got this. But even in the Verlander game, the minute that he did that little hop skip after giving up the hit to dead center field until Springer reeled it in, I was like, oh God, that if that goes, that's problems.
There was a couple of moments like that in the last couple of games, wasn't there? Springer's catch against the wall, and then you had the catch against the wall over Marwin. There was those moments where your heart stops. And I never really felt comfortable. I mean, even the last out, I was like, please don't drop that. Please don't drop. I'm literally down to the wire just expecting something bad to happen. Please don't drop that. And then he caught it. And then all just euphoria. You're just like, they actually are going to the World Series.
And just everybody doing their part, regardless. You know, Reddick, thank God, finally got a hit just for his own sake to get that piano off of his back. Man. Not just a monkey on his back.
Oh, for 22?
Yeah, he got that going. But, man, what can you say? You can go up and down the list. And I know Verlander got the MVP. But I'm telling you right now, man, Jose Altuve, if I hear one more person say for a guy his size, when is it time to just give the man his due and say, this dude is an all-world baseball player?
He is. He's a good baseball player, and yeah, the size shouldn't be a thing. It's an anomaly, but it shouldn't be a thing. No. But it is, and it's always going to be, and he knows that. He handles it so well, very classy about it, because he always gets asked about it, and his stock answer now, which is a great one, is I feel like I'm just as big as everybody else when I'm in between the lines. That's a great answer.
It is.
And he is.
It's got to get old.
Oh, no doubt. But how about you get 9 innings from 2 guys that you really needed and you needed to be able to count on? And guess what? You got your third starter for sure now in Lance McCullers.
No doubt.
He's back. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it where I was really hoping that they would give him an opportunity to get a start under his belt, which they did. He came in and did the 4 innings in relief in game 7. But now you know he's back. You know you can count on him. Does that mean he's not going to have a bad game? Absolutely not. But you've seen enough to know that he's Lance McCullers pre-All-Star. He's Lance McCullers with the stuff that had him as a top 10 pitcher in baseball. Not American League, in baseball. This year. Mm-hmm. So you really are going in with potentially 3 aces in the World Series. And to me, that's a big deal, because if Corey Seager's not healthy, if Kershaw injuries flare up again, that could really make things lopsided for your Astros, because right now their rotation can match the Dodgers' rotation.
I agree.
Is it as you know, 1-to-1? I'll take Verlander and Kershaw, heads up. I'll take that.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? I'll take Keuchel and Yu Darvish. I'll take that.
Or Hill.
McCullers and Hill. I'll take that. And in fact, I think, you know, you look at those and there's no you can't really give it to one person.
I got in an argument with my buddy that's a Dodger fan, because he was adamant how the Dodgers' rotation was better than the Astros. I said, you can't say that with the way that McCullers and Morton have even stepped up. And the fact that, again, we go back to Morton's start in
Morton
the last series. The numbers don't look good because of the way it finished out, but there were a lot of dink and dunk hits. He was in control. His breaking pitches were great. He showed that again in Game 7. And so I'm with you. I don't think that they have a huge... The only advantage that I say the Dodgers have is in their bullpen.
Well, if you were doing the checkbox thing, right, where you put the different phases or facets of the game and who had the advantage, I think when it comes to rotation, you would say even.
Yeah.
Then you would get to bullpen and you would put the check mark for the Dodgers.
Yep.
But you get to lineup and offense, and it's definitely check mark Astros. So you're talking about two teams that are stronger than the other team in a different facet, but equal when it comes to rotation. This is going to be a fun World Series.
I think so. And I think that hopefully people recognize the fact that these are the two best teams that for the entire duration of the regular season. Yes, the Indians had the streak, got them back in it, got them the best record in the American League. But look, start to finish, the Astros and the Dodgers were the two best teams. First time since 1970 that two 100-plus win teams are going to meet in the World Series. I think for the, you know, for all the times that, you know, there's an upset and someone says it's a shame you didn't get the matchup that you were looking for, you know, when you saw the season unfolding, this time I don't think you can say that. I think you got the matchup everybody wanted to see in terms of the most wins, the team, and the teams that were the most dominant for the entire season, and it should be a good series. I don't think that anybody in LA so far is saying anything negative. I don't think the Astros fans or players are saying anything, and everybody's just going to go out and play hard, and hopefully we have one for the ages.
Yeah, it should be a fun World Series. I was making some keys that I thought would be, you know, telling for how this would go, and I think a lot of it, like I said, for the Dodgers is health. I mean,
Seager's a big if.
They've got to get Corey Seager, and Kershaw has to hold up. He's got to stay healthy. You know, he had some issues, too, in the division series. So getting those guys healthy is going to be their key. And also, getting to the Astros bullpen is going to be a key for them. But in the same vein, the Astros bullpen has to hold up. They have to step up and they have to hold up. And the bats have to get going on the road. This is a team that hit better on the road than they did at home. They scored more on the road than they did at home. So to see that happen in New York is the complete opposite of what we expected from this team. And so I think the key to this series is it basically comes down to it's all on the Astros, really. The burden to me is on the Astros. If they hit on the road and their bullpen can hold up, I think the Astros can win the series. I just am worried to death about that bullpen.
Yeah, it is scary. And, you know, and the fact that I think that it finally got to A.J. Hinch, too, and the fact that, yeah, Ken Giles was a little iffy and that he went with, and I was tweeting this during the game, the way McCullers settled in, the way that he was already in a groove, that I wouldn't have touched him and let him go the distance, which he inevitably ended up doing, was the way to go, because I just, no matter what the lead was, I didn't feel safe and didn't trust anybody else. And maybe Hinch had a few inklings that way, too, but he pressed the right buttons. He made the right moves. Wow, what a performance by Lance McCullers. I already knew that you were going to get in there and do your stat geek stuff, because when they tweeted 28 straight curveballs or whatever it was, and you said you went back and checked.
24,
but 24 was good enough, and that was fantastic in itself. And look, I didn't want to believe all the crap that I was hearing about Yankees fans. And I just felt like everybody was going to be up above board because I heard so many people that said that they were chanting Hurricane Harvey when they were in New York and the Astros were faltering.
Those are garbage human
beings. I didn't
want
to believe that.
Not all Yankees fans, because I have some Yankees fans on Facebook.
I do as well.
They've been, hey, man, congrats. Go win it. You know, go beat the Dodgers, whatever. But
I mean,
guys that are chanting Hurricane Harvey during the series, you're a garbage human being.
Yeah, it was on both sides, though. Like, I saw on Twitter there were some people...
Were they chanting 9/11?
Yeah, they were making 9/11 jokes to the people who were saying...
Was it in retaliation to someone that...
It was in retaliation.
Okay.
That's not okay, though.
No, I get it. People lash out. If you hit someone in the feels like that, expect ugly in return. I'm just sorry. That's going to happen.
But it didn't
instigate. I hit a guy with... I wished he had got diabetes from before the great soda ban of 2013.
Well, so you just wish death on him, but that's okay.
But no, diabetes is not death.
Well...
In some people it is, but I didn't go as bad as 9/11. Yeah, I told him I wished he lost the foot. I tweeted
about some of the bad things Yankee fans had done, and someone at first said, no, that's the Onion. It didn't really happen. Then I had Yankee fans that said, oh, yeah, they did chant that, but we're embarrassed by that. We apologize for that. But then the ass clown that went out on Twitter, it says, if the Yankees lose, maybe we'll all get lucky and another hurricane will hit Houston. Screw the Astros and that city. Hashtag Yankees. And I retweeted it. And of course, the cowardly ass clown had to take down his entire Twitter account. But that's the kind of crap that can get someone, as Barry's saying, to go right back and want to kick someone in the nuts with something more harsh and severe. But there's no place for that stuff.
Oh, boy, that was close.
I was upset.
Somebody texted the show and said, why is he saying us and we? I'm talking about the fans. I'm a fan. I'm not talking about the Astros. I didn't say, hey, we went out and pitched a great game. Get your facts right, fake news.
Well, we're going to the World Series regardless, and that's all that matters.
We are going to the World Series.
We, as a city, we're going to the World Series. We're going to have it in our backyard. It's going to be fun. All right, so we got plenty to get to, plenty to talk about, and as always, you guys are usual suspects we like to hear from. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer T. Scott, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Usual suspects back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, just getting it started in hour number one of the three-hour big show. It's Barry, it's Joel, it's Tyler, as we start your week the right way with the Astros in the World Series, Texans coming off a bye week, and oh, Dwayne Brown showed up today, so we can get to that at some point, too, because the Texans are actually adding to the roster with positives for a change instead of seeing guys fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far. They're going to Seattle this weekend. That's going to be a bit of a challenge with their defense, but that should be interesting and something we can definitely talk about. But we were talking about the Astros before the break, and lo and behold, Corey wants to get in here and talk some Stros. Corey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, man?
Hey, so two things. First is a minor one. If I was at a Stros game and somebody was chanting Hurricane Harvey, there wouldn't be any verbal response back. There would just be a straight punch in the mouth. Sorry, that's just me.
Well, what if it's a whole section? You got a lot of punches to throw.
Now, Corey, I got to ask you, if you were at a game in New York and they did that,
that's
are you throwing
mean.
The punches?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would.
Okay, good. My man.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, I would throw a punch.
There you go. I'm all right with that.
What else, man?
The game that they lost, the Astros did when they were down by they were up by four and Yankees came back and won, and everyone was worried about them hanging their heads and their attitude. What does it say about this club moving forward with the Astros, knowing that they came back from that defeat? And how does that look going against the Dodgers as far as their motivation and their determination and their grit?
Yeah, appreciate the call, Corey. They actually lost the next game after being up by four. They lost that game 6-4 and then came back and lost 5-0 in the next game. But it does say something to come back from a three-game losing streak on the road in the playoffs in the American League Championship Series to come home, clear your heads, and win two elimination games in a row. Says a lot. Now, you had Justin Verlander, so that helps. That gets you right. And that was a big momentum swing for this team to see him go out there and pitch those seven games. The offense came alive. They put up 7 runs. I think all of that kind of helped them carry them into game 7. Because I'll be honest with you, I said when they lost game 5 and if they lost game 5 that I felt like they would win game 6 and lose game 7. And I've never been more glad to be wrong. I mean, this team bounced back in a big way. And you got career type performance from Charlie Morton on the mound, who I don't think is getting enough credit for what he did in that game. I mean, Lance McCullers is getting all the love, but Charlie Morton went 5 strong without giving up a run.
No
question. I mean, he had them looking silly.
And going into the game, no one had confidence
from Bregman too on that throw,
bro. Dude, that's another guy that needs to get more love.
Seeing it in real time, you think. There's no way that he was out. He looked safe, but that was throw was perfect.
Yeah, there's only one way to make that play, yeah. And that was it. And he made it, and it was perfect. But you're right. He got help from there. McCullers got help in the outfield from George Springer on that catch, which it looked like Marwin was going to catch it anyways.
Marwin didn't want to jump, though. I was measuring it going, why did it look like he didn't want to jump?
I think he still catches that ball. But you got 9 innings of no runs. And they gave up 3 hits combined. Morton and McCullers pitched a 3-hit shutout in a game 7 of an ALCS. That's big time, man. And you hope that positivity carries over. But, man, it worries me that they got to go on the road for 4 games based on how they played on the road in Yankee Stadium. Now, it's different, yes. Yankee Stadium and, Dodger Stadium or whatever it is, Chavez Ravine or whatever the hell they're playing in, two completely different places to play.
It's also not going to be cold.
I thought the first game for sure that it affected them. I don't think so as much in the second and third game. You can't be up 4-0 and then your bullpen just eats it and then blame the cold.
I think that first game,
for sure felt like that the cold may have affected them a little bit. So yeah, it's good that they're going to be normal weather.
To the caller, the one thing I wanted to add on that is I think he felt like, do they feel like an extra sense of confidence now that they've come back and won the series? And I think you have to. I think I heard Reed Ryan this morning who was talking about the fact that, look, they got their butts handed to them in New York, and a lot of teams could have folded up their tents and gone home. And there was a lot of body language that said they weren't feeling as confident as they did all year, but yet they found a way to persevere. Yes, you had Verlander, but to your point on Charlie Morton, give the guy some credit, because from the national media on down, everybody saw the Sabathia-Morton matchup as a huge advantage Yankees, and it turned out to be the flip side.
I did.
Yeah, and so you give Morton a ton of credit, and then you just go up and down the list. The throw that you're talking about, I mean, the fact that Bregman had the wherewithal below the equator to even try and make throw.
Did you hear what he talked about, though, in the postgame? They asked him about that. He said that it had came up before, and he tried to turn two, and it didn't happen, and a run scored on it, so that he had talked to the coaches and Alex Cora, and they agreed that if he was ever in that position again, he would come home.
Yeah, so which was fantastic. It had to be a perfect throw, and it was. So for all the people that were posting about Joe Boo and Major League and the voodoo and removing the curse, they should probably instead have Bregman going down the first baseline with his hands draped down by his knees to show the kind of cojones it took to make that play in a deciding game 7 and make it right. And the other thing that I really loved was if you heard Evan Gattis in the post game in the locker room, who normally sprints around the bases after he hits a home run, he said that he took notice of when Todd Frazier went around those bases slow and was looking at his wrist.
I didn't hear
and
this.
Making a big deal. And he said, you know what? I decided for him, I'm going to take it a little slow. I'm going to make sure it's a good long go, and I loved it. I loved the fact, and I loved the fact that in the locker room, the guys kept their cool the whole series, but at the end of it, and taking pictures, they all had the thumbs down signs, and they were doing the things to say, you know what? We persevered through all that crap during the series, but now at the end of the series, now that we can look back, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, and that goes to the caller's point. I think for whatever they had to persevere and whatever that they were tested with, I think it just makes them stronger going forward. The one comment that really stuck with me in the postgame on Fox that I loved was Frank Thomas saying, look, I expect a great series, and I can't wait for it. He goes, but something about this Astros team and the way they won, they seem like a team of destiny to me. They seem like even if they're supposedly overmatched in the World Series or they're not favored, they're going to find a way. And I love that because this team, like you said, with all that we've endured as a city, they represent this city so well with that grit and grind and determination that they're going to find a way to win. And I think that's what makes it so fun to follow this team. So we've got plenty more to get to on the big show. We're just getting started. No Charlie Pulillo, as he is out in L.A. and is broadcasting live throughout the week as he attends the games to get the World Series underway. But that just gives us more time to chat as friends. So if you want to get on the show, 713-780-3776. Joe, we see you. You're going to come up next. That's the HRP listener line. Barry checks the text messages. We're all on Twitter. So stay with us. We're going to have a great show today with a lot of positive vibes as there's a lot to talk about. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started on the big show. Appreciate all of you that have reached out to either one of us or checked on Nick on Twitter. He is still dealing with a ton with his family and some personal business, but we hope to have him back, hopefully, if not this week, next week. But our thoughts and prayers are with Nick and his family. And again, we had tweeted out last week, but we got a fund going for him to try and cover some of the expenses as he has been going back and forth from Egypt, and it's not cheap. A lot of you have been fantastic in stepping up to the cause, and we appreciate that. I'm going to try and retweet it again during the show. But if you love us and you love Nick and there's any way that you can see it in your heart to donate a little bit, we'd certainly appreciate it.
$5, $10, whatever you got.
Anything,
just throw it in
anything
there.
Anything and everything.
All appreciated. Yeah. He's made 2 trips already to Egypt, and that's not cheap.
No, those are $2,200 a trip at minimum. Mm. And that's his mom going to. That's not including the fact his mom, his brother, they've been going back and forth. So it's been crazy. So shout out and a lot of love and prayers to Nick. But we've been talking about the Astros. Of course, it's the talk of the town and on everybody's mind. Sports Illustrated just came out with a position-by-position breakdown comparison between the two teams. Barry has
some
numbers.
Sounds like garbage.
It kind of is, so far, the way it looks to me. And I'll tell you why I disagree, and I'm sure you will do the same. We also have some stuff that you've been pulling up. But before we get to all that, Joe called in, so we always take callers first. Joe, you want to get in here on Astros. What's up?
Gentlemen.
What up,
how
Joe?
How the hell are you? The Houston Astros are in the World Freaking Series.
Attaboy, Joe. I like it.
Joe, listen, what was the first thing you did? Well, hold on. What was the first thing you did when George Springer caught that ball? What was the first thing you did?
Holy cow. Dude, when Georgie Porgie caught that ball, I was like freaking.
Were you screaming?
Oh, man. It was awesome, awesome moment. But I'm going to tell you one thing, what really got me going, what got me just showing that we got the balls to play this game is when McCann, when he can play the plate and call the game the way he did, was awesome.
Yep.
He showed up, that little baby bomber, I don't know who they call him, but how many was thrown to that guy and how many did he drop and how many were thrown to him? Our man, and how many did he drop? It showed up when, you know what, when it's time to play, it's time. Houston Astros, we're going to the World Series. I'm so proud. This city really needed it. This state needed it. And I'm going to tell you one thing, man. All the truck driver friends out there on the state highways and everything, we're all rooting for the Houston Astros. We got our flags flying up all over the place. We're wearing our jerseys. We're wearing our caps. And we're tooting our horns.
Love it, Joe. Thanks for the call.
Keep it
man.
Up, Joe.
Much
Keep
appreciated.
On trucking, brother.
You know, Joe makes a good point, though, and it's not enough emphasis was put on this, but when you think about the plays at the plate that were made and not made by both teams,
yeah,
had a lot to do with how the series went.
When I got tired of hearing about the cannon that Gary Sanchez had when he couldn't stop a ball otherwise.
Bird being thrown out of the plate twice. yeah. was big.
Yep.
Gary Sanchez's inability to catch a play at the plate, just to catch the ball. I mean, they had two different times they had runners dead to rights at the plate, and his inability to come up with the ball cost them. One time it cost them a game for sure. So it definitely decided a game right then and there.
I don't know if you felt this, and I don't know if you were thinking this, but the one thing was he's so bad behind the plate that his framing of pitches is so egregious. He brought normally if McCann moves his glove more than a couple inches, the umpire's going to go, okay, he's. But Sanchez is so bad at framing the ball that when he tries to do it, he brought every pitch in like 6 inches, and he actually got a couple of calls over the weekend, and I was just screaming at the TV, like, he's so bad. Give a good catcher that frames a pitch credit. But when Sanchez's whole body moves to bring the ball back in, and yet you're still calling a strike, which clearly was a ball, it was driving me crazy.
I thought the umpiring in the series was garbage.
I agree.
I felt like that the strike zone just was, you couldn't count on anything. And don't get me wrong, both teams were beneficiaries of bad calls, and both teams were on the other end of those bad calls. So it wasn't just that I felt like the umpires were, you know, pro-Yankee or making calls for the Yankees. It was bad on both sides in both directions. So it was just garbage umpiring, I thought, behind the plate. But, yeah, I mean, Joe has a great point about the plays at the plate and McCann and what he did and you know, calling the game and everything else. And it's good to see, because you know it feels good to be Brian McCann when you know that the guy at the plate that cost them runs and specifically a game is the guy that you got let go for. And
no
you're
doubt.
Moving on and he's not.
No
that
question.
Has to feel so good.
And if you don't realize how good a catcher Brian McCann is and how well respected he is, then you missed all the broadcasts and you missed all of the coverage of this series. Because it started with the manager for the other team. Joe Girardi went absolutely crazy in compliments to talk about what a guy McCann is and how classy a guy he is and how great a receiver he is and all the different things that made him special. John Smoltz, who had him with the Braves, talked about how good a catcher he was, what a pleasure it was to throw to him. And that's hard for a guy that seemed to be pro-Yankee, that it was almost going to be catastrophic yeah. when the Yankees lost in Smoltz.
A-Rod on the broadcast afterwards said that he was one of the best teammates he's ever had. I mean, that you just, everywhere
you
go.
Up and down the list?
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's not, and here's the thing. And then people were riding him about his bat. And who comes up with the big hit that gave him the insurance runs late in Game 7?
Mm-hmm.
Brian McCann.
Yeah.
It was a great point by the caller, and fantastic that it was finally recognized that you got a guy that a year ago, you're looking at Jason Castro and expecting the same stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, good Lord on any side of the plate, right?
Yeah, guys, you helped the Astros get the win by doubting that they could win Game 7 during your show on Friday. Keep the hate coming. It helps the mojo.
All right.
Okay.
Speaking of that, by the way, can I just throw this out?
Okay.
I want to remind the loyal, usual suspects. During the season, we had Josh Reddick on the show. Right after we had him on the show, he went on a tear of astronomical proportions. Yes, pun intended. He went nuts. He was hitting the heck out of the ball. We all took notice. And, of course, kind of kiddingly and tongue-in-cheek, we said it was all because he was on the show. Well, I started it by sending a tweet today, but I think that everybody should get on Josh Reddick's Twitter account and say, at some point during this series, preferably while they're in California, it might behoove you to make a small guest appearance phone call to the usual suspects, because we believe in the mojo and we'd like to keep it going in a positive direction. I'm just saying. Okay. So I threw it out there, and you can find his Twitter account, but I can get it for you. But I threw it out there because simply, I know we kidded about it. El Jefe was all over it. A lot of people tweeted him during the course of the run that he was on. But I just think, hey.
It's time.
It is.
Somebody said, Barry, would you let 100 random strangers hug you one after another consecutively if it meant the Astros win the World Series?
Yeah, you would.
In a heartbeat,
you
I would.
You would bathe in Purell yes. afterwards, but...
I would, yes.
You could endure that.
If there was a guarantee that I let 100 random strangers hug me mm-hmm. for a world... Absolutely.
Long, sensual hugs. With warm
well, now,
air,
you've got to make it weird.
Warm air exhale on the neck and ear when they
no,
let go of you.
No, you're just making it weird. Like, no, it's just a hug.
And at
you're
least five can randomly no. trace your lips with their pointer finger.
No.
All right, it's at Real Josh Reddick if you want to get on Twitter and remind him of the astronomical tear he went on after joining the show, because we'd love to have some Astros guests this week, even though we're not the quote-unquote flagship. We're the team that talks baseball more than anybody.
That's true. We do talk a lot of baseball.
Just saying, right?
We do talk a ton of baseball. So I did some research. You know me.
Yep.
I'm always going to do my research. So a couple things. I looked at the matchups, and I did this actually that night. You'd be surprised how much of us I did that night. My wife's like, why were you up till 3 in the morning? I was like, because the Astros are in the World Series, and I finally can enjoy doing show prep. Like, I can actually have some fun and enjoy all this. So I made these, and it turned out to be the case, but that's kind of been the pattern with the Dodgers starting Hill in Game 2, which surprised a few people. But it made sense. So your Game 1 starters on the 24th is Keuchel versus Kershaw. Game 2 on the 25th is Verlander versus Hill. Game 3 is going to be Darvish, I think, versus McCullers. Game 4 will be Wood versus Morton, and then it starts back over again. So your Game 7, if it gets down to that, is Darvish versus McCullers, which is, to me, is way better odds than you had going into the Yankees. The problem is, though, is how these guys hit each other. And what I mean by that is if you look at I went to ESPN and pulled the pitcher versus the other team's lineup. And I hear the music. We'll do that on the other side. But let's just say it's it gets scary at some point.
Okay. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the SI comparison matchups between the Dodgers and the Astros. Tony, we see you. We'll get to you as well. And we'll continue to get to a whole lot more as we continue with a jam-packed and a whole lot of fun show on a Monday here on The Usual Suspects. Back with a whole lot more, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Still in hour number one of the big three-hour extravaganza that we call a show and have fun doing, but more fun when the Astros are in the World Series and there's lots of good vibes in the big city. We're happy about that. With that, you guys are calling like mothers and trying to get in on some commentary on the Astros. Tony, you've been holding. We appreciate you. What's up, man?
How's it going, fellas? Just wanted to say I'm super stoked about the World Series and coming to Houston for the middle games. Just wanted to gain y'all's insight. I didn't get to watch a lot of interleague play, especially when they were the away team. But what does losing the DH in L.A. do to Houston, and what does gaining the DH do to the Dodgers here in Houston? So just wanted to gain y'all's insight on that.
Yeah, good question.
Good stuff, Tony. Good question.
Yeah, so the first thing that I think you'll see, and you've already seen it, is the way that they do the pitching matchups. When a lot of people were thinking that Darvish would pitch game two because he's been rested enough and is probably their second best pitcher, keep in mind that Darvish came over from the American League and only spent a month in the National League. So if you can get him back in his comfort zone of pitching and with American League rules and not having to go to bat, that's probably ideal when you've got guys that have been doing that in their career like Hill. So it made sense to push Darvish to game three. So I think that's one of the effects that you've seen in the way that they've done the pitching matchups is by making Darvish pitch in the American League park so that he doesn't have to bat. The other things that you'll see really is how they manage the game. And if you didn't like the way that AJ Hinch managed in the American League Championship Series, I have a feeling that a lot of folks are going to be up in arms with the way that he handles the bullpen, pinch hitters, pitch runners, double switches. There's a lot more managing that goes on in a National League park as opposed to an American League park.
He has experience, though.
He does.
Which is big. Because a lot of American League managers get screwed up in interleague play, and they're like, oh, it's only during the regular season a couple of times. They're okay. It does help for all of you AJ Hinch critics out there to at least know in his back pocket he spent seasons managing a National League team, so he knows what goes into it. He'll have some experience, and that is valuable in a series where everything is magnified like it is in the World Series.
What I don't think you're going to see is I don't think you'll see teams change their philosophy. Like, I don't think you're going to see the Astros play small ball. I know OU Mike had texted the show just jokingly, I hope, talking about should Altuve be bunting more. Ha ha, that's hilarious. But you're not going to – you might see them move a runner over here and there, but I know in the National League they've kind of had the it's always been, you know, small ball in the National League because you've got the pitcher and you've got – so you're giving up outs since it's an out anyways and you try to move it over. You'll probably see the pitchers do a little bit of that, but outside of a pitcher trying to lay down a bunt here and there – the Astros aren't going to change their philosophy in the way that they hit. And for the Dodgers, everything, they get to relax a little, I think, going to the American League Park. They don't have to worry as much about managing to the National League rules and requirements. And they get an extra bat, so they probably feel better.
I'm sure they love it.
Oh, yeah.
Without doubt. Without a doubt. And look, I mean, again, we'll get into this and all the comparisons between you know, the two teams and how they stack up and everything like that. But for all the criticism on Hinch, it's really good to know that at least he has experience in doing some of the double switches and things that he's going to need to execute when in the National League Park. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the fact that, you know, I'd love to say that from an experience standpoint or from a college perspective, you got a lot of big bats coming through for the Astros when the pitchers have to hit in the National League Park. But obviously, Verlander's an American League guy. Keuchel's, you know, he's hit before in the National League, but I'm not expecting anything other than sacrifice bunts and three right down the chute for called strike threes on the Astros pitchers.
Yeah, it's going to be a little frustrating, I think, for fans that have, you know, there's a lot of bandwagon fans, so they don't even remember when the Astros were in the National League. But yeah, it's a different kind of game in the National League, you know, but overall, I don't think you change who you are and what your philosophy is. Well, and this team has gotten, they're not strikeout or home run anymore. I mean, this team struck out less than anyone in the majors.
Did you see, did you bring up the Darvish kind of fake bunt at bat? Did you see that?
No.
So I can't remember, I think it was Hendricks that he was facing, but, or one of their relievers, but he basically faked like he was going to bunt every time, and he drew a four-pitch walk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think if you're the Astros... Yeah, but I mean, I think if you're the Astros, you kind of look at that and you think, okay, let's try and use this against them, but they probably know it's coming, but still.
Yeah. So I was looking at some different stats for these teams, like splits, home and road. And I mentioned a little bit of it before, but if you look at, and you, again, you have to take into account when I give you these numbers that the Dodgers were basically fighting with one hand tied behind their back. And when it comes to stats compared to an American League team, because they have a pitcher batting. So they have eight hitters as opposed to nine and vice versa. But when you look at stats, home and road hitting, the Dodgers hit .252 at home and .246 on the road. You compare that to the Astros, they're .279 at home and .284 on the road. Yep. That's a big difference. Runs, the Astros put up 501 runs away from Minute Maid Park. The Dodgers, .372. Pretty significant. Runs at home is pretty close, .395 to .398. But this team, this Astros team, can hit away from home, which is why it was so shocking and so disparaging and got everybody so upset when they did what they did against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. It was the complete opposite of what they had done all year. So hopefully that carries over. But again, now you got to keep in mind that when they're on the road and when they're hitting, they'll be doing it with eight guys instead of nine because it's a National League Park. Pitching splits wise, though, I was looking at the different pitchers versus the lineup. So Dallas Keuchel versus the Dodgers, not a big sample size. Logan Forsyth, Franklin Gutierrez, Chris Taylor, Chase Utley is it. But he had a .214 average. Verlander has a .229 average against the Dodgers. Most of them in the lineup already. McCullers, .455
Ooh.
Batting average against the Dodgers. And then Charlie Morton has a .316.
Correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't see the Dodgers this year.
He's faced these batters. He's faced Ethier, Forsyth, Gutierrez, Puig, Turner, Utley. All that combined is a .455 batting average and an OPS of .980. So McCullers, even though he's your game three guy, he doesn't have great success against some of the Dodgers in that lineup. Let's flip the script and look at Clayton Kershaw versus the Astros, .235 batting average. And that's the worst. From there, it goes Rich Hill with a .176 batting average against the Astros lineup.
Darvish?
Yu Darvish, .190.
He did that well against
190.
The Strohs?
Yo, absolutely.
And that's a bigger
sample
size.
He was a Strohs killer because of being in the division. Yeah, that's what scared me the most about this matchup is Yu Darvish.
Maybe it was just recently they had got him a few times.
Again, it's comfort zone, right? He's pitched in Minute Maid before. He's done it, and it's American League rules. He doesn't have to worry about all that other stuff. So that scares me. That matchup scares me the most. But at least you have McCullers, which gives you a fighting chance, right? As opposed to having to run McHugh or somebody out there. And then the last one is Alex Wood has a cool 100 batting average against. 0-4 Reddick, 1-3 Springer, 0-3 Altuve. So not a ton of at-bats in that particular case. But the rest of them, yeah, it's definitely, if you're looking at matchups versus lineups from a pitching to a hitting perspective, it's definitely advantage Dodgers. But I think from a pure pitching and rotation perspective, these teams are pretty even.
And look, here's the thing. You can look at those numbers against McCullers and you can gasp a little bit, but that's a different Lance McCullers than what we're dealing with right now because he's got confidence. He knows that Uncle Charlie is all over where he wants it. He can use it 24 straight times. His fastball's above average. He's on top of the world feeling good about himself, and that's what you need. Half the time, half the battle in this game is about confidence. We all know that everybody's highlighted, hey, you're a Hall of Fame-type player or an All-Star-type player. If you fail 7 of the 10 times you go to the plate, but at the same time, from a pitching perspective, if you've got confidence, you're going to attack every hitter and feel like you're going to place every pitch. That's what Verlander has. That's what Keuchel has. That's what you're looking at right now that I feel like McCullers has. And now, I would dare say, Charlie Morton is close to being in that realm too because of the fact that he found it, and in the biggest game when his team needed him the most, he stepped up in a big way.
Pitched his ass off.
Yeah,
and
no
you know,
question.
Again, we said it, he was really, I felt bad for his outing in Yankee Stadium. He pitched way better than the results. I mean, he gave up 7 earned runs. That Todd Frazier home run was garbage. They got that garbage 3-run home run, and then of course the other couple of bloop singles and weak hits that ended up giving up runs. So he pitched better than that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's he's a guy that could be a difference maker in the series, even though you'll only see him once.
No doubt about it. So it should be fun. All right, so we got one of the books, 2 to go, plenty more of the big show, so don't go anywhere. Right now I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire, because I've been telling you for quite a while now that I have been friends with Mike and Tammy Gust for a long, long time, ever since I've been in Houston. And I know and I believe because I have used and been a customer of American Wheel and Tire for my existence in the Houston area. They're at 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, and definitely go to AmericanWheelAndTire.com and check out all the great services they offer, because if you have a flat tire or a damaged rim, they can repair it. Repair either one of them without having to charge you for a brand new tire or rim, which most of the big stores in the area that handle wheels and tires are going to try and ding you for. They also do great things to soup up your vehicle, from lift kits, Kevlar wraps, coating, off-road accessories, lift kits that make your SUV or your truck look fantastic, and all the different things that they do to vehicles. And the best part about it is they're going to communicate with you throughout the process. They're going to tell you when things are going well. They're going to tell you when they're concerned. They're going to tell you what they can do and also be honest with you and tell you if there's something they can't do. But most everything that you need for your vehicle, especially wheels and tires, can be done at American Wheel and Tire. Believe me, I'm a customer and I have been with them for a long time because they've never done me wrong. They're never going to do you wrong either. And right now, you buy 4 new tires with mounting and balancing, you get a free 20-ounce Yeti tumbler. That's just one of the great deals that they have for you. Just mention ESPN 97.5. But please check out 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, American Wheel and Tire, or go to AmericanWheelAndTire.com. Just like Pretty Todd, I'm T-Buck Rich. Got oil coming in and it's straight from the west. And the grill for a miss on a Cadillac crest. Any of the best, I ain't missing with the rest. Santa Claus sled, that's pomegranate red. Sipping the taste, I take it straight to the head. And the switch house, what I rip till I'm broke. Who's this? Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.